the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. All right, now look who just stepped into the studio. Ed Yanka with the ACLU is here. And boy, how busy are you this year?
It's been a little bit of a busy time. We were just talking before. I'm trying to get away on a vacation.
Well, who can do this when we can't figure out which bathroom to go to? I mean, I cannot believe, Ed. I mean, over the years we've had our political disagreements about things, but why are we talking about this now? How did this happen?
I think what happened here, Ro, is that we hit a moment when, on the one hand, much of society has moved and accepted and understood, number one, that there's always been transgender people among us, mm-hmm. and number two, that increasingly there's a recognition of what it means to be transgender at a younger age, that one of the things that's happening is people talk about integrating transgender people in their affirmed identity earlier, and that what we're really seeing is the pushback to that. I think this is not unlike the spasm, just to make the comparison, this is not unlike the spasm of anti-marriage things that we saw in 2004, and you fast forward to 2015 and marriage is legal, everybody's getting married. Right. And I think that's where we are. In 10 years, this will look completely different.
So now what's interesting here is you got this Palatine case.
Right.
All right. So this has been in and out of the news. It's been overshadowed now, obviously, by statewide bans, right? You have the North Carolina situation and even in Louisiana, whatever they were doing. I mean,
right.
Exactly.
But it seems to have died.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But North Carolina is, up and going, and now the federal government sued them, and they're suing the federal government back, and all that is going on. But now, here in the northwest suburbs in Palatine, School District 211, there has been this issue about the girls' locker room,
right?
And give us a little of the background.
Sure. So in 2013, we filed a complaint on behalf of a student A, with the U.S. Department of Education. The Department of Education then ruled on that complaint in 2015 and found for the very first time that denying a student who's transgender access to the locker room that's consistent with their gender identity is a violation of Title IX. The school district disagreed. They fought it. Mm-hmm. There were then these back and forth negotiations between the school district and the Department of Education, and they reached a resolution. It's not a perfect resolution, but it's a resolution that allowed this to move forward. In the midst of this, it was uncovered or discovered or made public that the school had long ago permitted the student to use the restroom that was consistent with her identity. And that caused this backlash among this parents group and among these outside groups who last week sued the school district as well as the Department of Education and the Department of Justice and said that they want all of these policies reversed.
What are you seeing in the schools, Ed, about dealing with this issue? Are you finding that most schools in our area are making accommodations for transgender students, those who identify? And it's got to be difficult, too, with limited resources. Some have, chosen to do separate bathrooms just for those people who identify in that way as a transgender.
Right. So that's not okay, because then what you're really doing, if you have a bathroom that's just for people who are transgender, what you're doing in the school is every time someone goes in there, you're outing them. And so that's really not been considered permissible. In fact, in the guidance that the Department of Education gave in the District 211 case and what we believe they're about to do nationally in terms of guidance, they've said that separate really still isn't equal.
Yeah. So that's the principle, the guiding principle, separate, not equal.
That's
right. It
goes
by Brown versus Board of Education.
Right.
But let's go back to that outing them thing. It seems to me that the kids, I mean, even in a large school district like 211 Palatine, they're going to know.
That's generally true. But in the other piece of it is,
and you're going to remember when the girl was a boy, or
right.
vice versa.
Well, that sometimes happens. But let's go back to Anna's question, because you want to, when you talk about what's really happening in the schools, is the students don't care. The students are fine with this. This is almost always a problem which evolves or develops as the result of parental or outside forces, as opposed to the forces inside the school. One of the things that we've seen, for example, recently in a school district is a student was going to go into the locker room had transitioned from female to male, and they were going to compel him to use a privacy curtain. After about a week, the school came and said, don't do that. It makes you look silly every time you do, because nobody else in the locker room cared. One of the things that's fascinating about this, and I'll just say as someone who has moved gently into middle age, or at least I'd like to think gently, is that...
Oh, Ed, you're fine.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. It took you a long time to say that.
Yeah, really.
You're a little slow today.
Pause. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, thanks. Very telling.
A little under the weather. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
But what was interesting is that, number one, students don't disrobe completely in a locker room, I think the way that many of us were accustomed to. So they don't see this as being a big thing. And candidly... there's all kinds of issues about body modesty and things like that that happen in high schools that, a transgender student who has their own level of modesty, which is probably higher than most of the other students, just really isn't an issue for other people.
Okay, but let me ask you this. Even the parents of the transgender child, right? I mean, there has to be some sort of concern. If you've got a girl who's transitioning to be a boy,
mm-hmm.
and it probably has not had the full surgery. At this point, right?
I mean, pre-op, you're talking about, still has male genitalia.
But living as, because I mean, that's one of the things that, mm-hmm. or female genitalia in this case.
Oh, I see what you're
right?
saying.
Right? Mm-hmm. Goes into a boy's locker room and I think the parents of the kid who's transitioning and the parents of goodwill of people who are like, not just haters, I'm talking about people of goodwill, are like, well, I mean, that could turn into some weird sort of dynamic. Kids can be mean. Kids can be not nice to each other. Kids can act like Donald Trump.
the man baby.
Right, the man baby. What is it? I mean, how is that really being addressed in a practical way here? I mean, the ACLU mm-hmm. gets involved, and it's like it becomes a big deal when the ACLU gets involved. And then there's it becomes a heater case, as we like to say on TV.
So I think that's a really good question. So there's a couple of things about this. You know, first of all, I think one of the things that's, you know, we often hear, if you remember Senator Cruz during the Indiana primary talking about a full-grown male in the bathroom with my little girls and all of those things. Yeah. You know, the truth is that the real physical threat most often is to the transgender person as opposed to, you know, anyone else that's in that setting.
Well, that's the question I'm asking.
Right.
I mean, really,
and of course parents worry about that. And it's part of what most school districts are doing. And the way they're dealing with this is they put together a support team. They put together, you know, counselors and other people who understand these issues and have been through training and are part of this. And they put themselves in place to be supportive if something happens and even to interdict it if it starts to. And that, frankly, is the way that most districts are doing it so that you don't run up against these kinds of issues and you don't have the problems. And I think it takes us back to where you started, Ro, which is it's puzzling then to me if it can work in every school district or all these hundreds of school districts across Illinois. California has a state law that mandates this, and they've never had a single reported problem. And yet we continue to talk about this as though it's some huge issue.
You know, you keep seeing on social media right now all these guys saying, and I'm sure it's facetious, but saying, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to pretend that I identify with the other, you know, the other gender, and I'm going to just go on and they can't do anything to me. Are there going to have to be laws now or ways of cracking down on people who falsely identify with the gender that they don't really, they're just doing it for fun?
That is the worst idle threat of all time.
I'm
going to be a transgender for a day.
I know,
but those are idiots. They are.
And if they decided to do something, you'd be like, come on, get out of the bathroom.
I hate to say this, Anna, never thought I would. I agree with Ro about this. I think this is the worst idolist threat. Look at that. Look at this. This is. I mean, what? Like 15 years. This has never happened.
Yeah.
But I think so. But think about this in the context of a school.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to walk in on Monday and say, hey, you know what? I'm transgender today.
Sure.
That's not the way this is going to work.
And by, and on Tuesday, by the way, I'm back. I didn't like being a brat. Like
but
right.
more in public right. bathrooms, I think.
Yeah.
I think, watch this, man. I'm going to do this.
Well, you know, the truth is, I always think it's interesting in public bathrooms. I don't know about you. No one has ever checked my birth certificate going in and out of a bathroom. I think we just presume that people are going to do what's appropriate. They're going to go to the right place, what's appropriate for them. I think we all probably, whether we know it or not, have been in a bathroom with someone who's transgender and never had any issue.
Oh, God, Ed. What are you doing to me? Hey, what? But have you ever accidentally walked into the wrong bathroom? That has happened to me on a number of occasions. And you notice it's like
worse
all,
for a man
it's like
than a
all
woman.
Stalls, right? Yeah. Like, but sometimes at stadiums, you know, they redeploy the bathrooms
or in
for
foreign
men,
countries.
For,
sometimes right. it's hard right. to tell. If right. you've been to Asia, you can't right. tell what yeah. it looks like. You're like. I don't know. That might be me. That might not be me.
Right. And I'm standing in there and I'm looking around and go, and then I'm like the only guy. And then I go, oh, excuse me. And try to walk back slowly. Out
I had a health club locker room incident once, which has still scarred me to this hour. And, you know, just because I found myself in the wrong place. And you're right. You just get the heck out of there.
Yeah, you're like, hey, whoa. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. Hey. All right. So the ACLU of Illinois has gotten involved in this case. You're going to intervene. So what is that? We got about 30 seconds left. What does that actually practically mean?
What it practically means is we will join the side of the school district and the federal government in opposing the people who want to reverse these policies.
Who have sued.
We think these are good policies. We think they should remain in place. They're working everywhere else. They can work in District 211.
Ed Yanka, ACLU of Illinois. Thank you, Ed.
Thanks, Ed.
Ed agreed with me today. I have it on record.
You have one person who agreed with you today.
It's going to get Ed fired from the ACLU, by the way.
You agreed with Rogan?
No. Oh. What happened to one of you?